The Boonboongers are at it again, as a new foe from the Hashilian Custom Corps arrives on Earth. But he doesn't arrive alone, as the Red Ranger of the Go-Ongers also makes a crossover debut. Also, legendary action unfurls as Hotaro and Kyuga must work together to defeat Hundred. And a quadruple transmutation, yeah, quadruple, before it's too late. This week on Henshin Fever.
Boom, 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 change.
This is Henshin Fever. I'm one of your hosts, Chance.
Boom, boom. I'm your other host, Boone Cameron.
You didn't say boom, boom, change. You're not changed yet.
Oh, boom, boom, change. I'm your other host, Boone Cameron.
I love it.
But I got to do this.
Welcome to this very special filler episode.
We are off to a strong start.
You know, we're just going for it.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. I've been on vacation. You've been enjoying your summer.
Uh-huh. I'm about to go on vacation. So we're kind of splitting the uprights a little bit.
Okay. We're right in the middle of vacation. I thought you were going to Ponca City.
We're going to Dallas.
Oh, I thought you said you were going. I was like, that's not a vacation for you, dude.
No, that's not a vacation.
Are you taking the kids to Dallas?
Uh-huh.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, we're going to stay downtown, and there's like on this YouTuber that my son really likes, there's an episode where they're in a candy shop and they like spend the night in a candy shop. And it turns out that there's the candy shop that they stay in is like 0.2 miles from our hotel. So they're really excited to go there. We're going to go to the aquarium, go to the water park.
Candy shop.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Keep going.
Go to the aquarium, go to a water park.
Ooh, fun.
See my aunt and uncle.
Oh, well, okay. Probably fine.
You don't know what that's like having family that you want to see.
It's true. I maybe did it once.
Maybe. No. Not now. Your brother-in-law?
It's true. I was just telling my wife the other day, she said something about, oh, and then we'll get together with my mom and dad and brother, and my brother and Kendra. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I like those people, and I'm happy to do that. But in my heart, every time you're like, let's go see family, my brain's still like, nope,
that's not a thing. If you haven't followed along to unpacking of all of Chance's life on our other show, Boy Meets World Fever, he just has a lot of baggage.
I have a lot of baggage when it comes to family. I feel like my mysterious life over there is less mysterious now.
Mm-hmm.
Still quite strange, I would think. For those of you who can't see this, and that's all of you because this is an audio podcast.
As all podcasts are.
Lightning keeps popping up over Cameron's shoulder because we're doing this in the middle of a thunderstorm. It seems like it's worse here than there.
Yeah, I'm a little further south.
Yeah, just a little, but he is. Did you hear it?
I didn't.
Oh, there was a very big crash of thunder. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's going on.
Yeah, so it's very distracting sometimes. I'm like, what was that?
It's happening over your shoulder. But if you noticed at the beginning of the episode, it's a little different. This is sort of a quick, not super quick, you know. Mm-hmm. But we've missed a week, and so we're a little bit behind of our normal format. But things have been really busy and trying to catch up. And some big things are going down over in Kamen Rider Gotchard. Mm-hmm. That we really want to talk about, but the problem is the site that we use to watch the episodes for some reason isn't posting episode 38. So we're in the middle of trying to get that figured out. And we think we've got a solution. We just don't have episode 38 right now. So we're also kind of unable to talk about episodes 36 and 37 because they sort of all lead up to one another. So as just a programming note, today we're going to wrap up the Legend Saga crossover event. It doesn't feel like a crossover because it's not its own thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And also, just like to go along with that, these episodes are all very much, I mean, they're filler. Let's call them what they are. Let's call a spade a spade.
The Legend ones?
Well, no, not all the Legend ones, but this Legend one specifically, and then these two Boom Boongers.
Uh-huh. Well, the Boom Boongers are just what Boom Boonger does.
Yeah, but I just finished the episode 13, like, before we got here.
Uh-huh, and that's, like, building to something now.
Yeah, it's building to something there.
At least the introduction of, I'm blanking on his name.
Deathbot? Deadbot? Something?
Something. I'm sure I could look it up. The internet does exist.
Yeah.
Episode 11, I think?
No, it's episode 13.
No, the newest one is 13. I was trying to find out what this guy's name is called.
Yeah, because I watched 11, 12, and 13 today.
Yeah, that's what I've watched too. But 11 is when he shows up for the first time.
He does?
Doesn't
he? Are we talking about the same guy? The guy that looks just like Boondonio?
Oh, no. I was just meaning the Hashelian Custom Core leader.
Oh, no. I was talking about the guy who looks just like Boondario.
Yeah, he's cool. That's not who. Cannonborg.
Cannonborg. You were talking about Cannonborg.
I was talking about Cannonborg, and you were talking about that other thing.
Yeah, the I think
his Death name Wheel.
What's his name?
I don't know. I said Death Wheel, but that's like Mad Wheel.
Which yeah, can't I don't remember right. His name either, but he... I saw the preview, because it seems like they defeated him pretty good, but...
Uh-huh, preview, but it seems like he's coming back.
He's coming back, and he looks so much like...
Boondorio,
that I feel like it's not a coincidence.
Boom Boom Killer Robo.
Boom Boom Killer Robo, yes.
Though I did really like episode 13. I thought episode 13 was very funny.
Yes, and I liked episode 13 a lot too, but we're not going to talk about that.
It has some good Team Rocket in it.
It does. It does.
And wonderful Genba, which I'm always here for some good Genba.
I really liked, I guess we can start with Boom Boonger.
Mm-hmm, since we're already there.
Yeah, because we're already there. I really liked it. I really liked this week's episodes 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be careful with my words. They're not a lot, but they were really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yes. Because, I mean, they weren't. And even episode 12, where you had the Go-Onger crossover, I have no frame of reference for that show. Mm-hmm. But I was just looking it up, and it was like 2008.
Yes.
I want to talk about... It's been like 16 years.
Yes, it has.
Which, that's horrifying to think about.
Yeah, you could tell that the Red Ranger had aged.
Yes, he was looking a little old.
It was a little rough. It was a little rough. It's not his fault. But I loved that episode because it really... So I... As listeners of the show should know, I did not watch Sentai, but I watched Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. And he was the Red Ranger for probably the strangest season of Power Rangers. Do you know what season they were, Cameron?
I have no idea. What was it?
So it was Power Rangers RPM.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm familiar. That's the one where it's like the bad guys won, right?
Yeah, it starts out like, what if Skynet won?
Which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's super fascinating. The first two-thirds of that show are really incredible. And I like its ending. I like its ending fine. It's very clear that someone got fired and replaced with someone who did more Power Rangers, because it's like, suddenly we start falling into like tropes, and we'd spent all season like avoiding tropes.
Which I feel like tropes can be good from a storytelling perspective, because it lets you play with what's familiar and then subvert those tropes in mm-hmm. surprising ways, or just like exist within them, because I feel like even our Boom Boonger cast kind of feels like everyone sort of has this slot that they fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But that just lets you know what to expect a little bit, and then you can either be surprised or just delighted with the way that it goes.
No, I completely agree with that. I love tropes. And I think we've talked about this. I think Boom Boonger is so successful because it does those tropes incredibly well. Actually, I think episode 11 is kind of a perfect little episode. I don't want to jump around too much because I still want to talk about Power Rangers RPM. But like episode 11, the whole thing is new bad guy comes up. They create a bad guy that takes control of the Rangers. They have to fight him until they find a weakness. They kill the bad guy, right? But it's so fun because it plays with its own tropes. Like when they boom, boom, change in that episode, they're being attacked as they do it. So all of them like skid it off like the ground as they dodge an attack instead of their arm or off the enemies.
Or like bump it off of the enemies as they're fighting.
And I just loved it. I thought it was so cool. And it was so funny because our Team Rocket duo, even they were like, oh,
that's they're so like, cool. Oh, wow. That was awesome.
And I did. I loved it. I loved it. It's an episode that made me love Taya even more than I already do. Because he's like this like super good guy. But also like he's just cool and he gets stuff done. And he just wants kids to smile.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
He's like if Ace from Geets wasn't as jaded.
I mean, he is Ace reborn.
Yeah, in a happier world. So I mean, I love Taya, but Boom Boonger's great because it does the tropes perfectly. I think RPM was great because we had never really had subversion of tropes in Power Rangers. So RPM's great because like. The first like three episodes are entirely about the Black Ranger, which never happens because it's always about the Red Ranger or green or white if it's Tommy. And he is kind of he develops kind of a rivalry with Red, and the two of them have like a real like kind of beef, like bad boy versus perfect boy kind of beef. And
love it.
There's a scene. I'm going to send you this. I want you to watch it on air because anyone who's seen Power Rangers will know this. RPM like presents itself as a very serious Power Ranger season, which is really funny because the guy who did it, they were just going to cancel Power Rangers. And one of the guys was like, I've always wanted to make a season of Power Rangers. I've got an idea. Whatever the next series is, I don't even care. Like I'm going to do a post-apocalyptic Power Ranger. And I'm going to do a post-apocalyptic Power Rangers and it's going to be great. Don't even care what the theme is. And then they got the footage and they're like, are those cars talking? Do they have freaking eyeballs on the front? but I think what they did with, it was really good. And this is kind of just a taste of how that season goes. It's a Q&A session with some fantastic humor.
Do-do-do. See if it opens.
It's just a YouTube link.
Yeah.
I am now open to any and all questions regarding the Ranger Bio Series suits, vehicles, and hardware. Anyone. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
What do you mean, what eyes? Right there? The front of our Zords.
They are not eyes. They're optical field scanning sensors for your cockpit's HUD display.
Well,
they look like eyes. Big, googly anime eyes.
Next.
Sometimes when I morph, I can't help but notice this gigantic explosion right behind me for no apparent reason.
I assume you're referring to the residual energy runoff that are sometimes necessary to clear the suit's biofuel channels during
morph. I'm referring to the six-story high fireballs like that one, right there. Now, could that happen to me in the kitchen or something?
When we morph, is it absolutely 100% necessary that we scream RPM getting gear at the top of our lungs?
That's a very good point. Some of us out there are trying to impress chicks. It's definitely not helping.
The vocal call-out is a voice recognition safety and security measure.
Well, maybe we can have a bit of a change.
A change?
Rangers to the rescue or Justice Unleashed, maybe?
Yeah. Justice is an abstract ideological concept. We deal with tangible realities, not justice. You want justice? Read a comic book.
That was what I wanted to tell you.
I just got to see this part now. That was just delightful.
I don't know if that's what you just watched, but later on in that episode, they use the fireball that forms behind them when they morph to take out some bad guys that they need to take out in a hurry.
That's wonderful. As they should.
It's just, that's the kind of humor it was just like this, like,
it's subversive.
People keep referring to the suits as spandex throughout the whole season. She's like, that is not spandex. It is a self-assembling nanofiber.
Naturally.
It's just kind of funny to see in this episode, like, the actual talking cars. And the, like, apparently just real wacky Red Ranger of a season that for me is actually one of the most serious seasons.
Because it was RPM.
Yeah. So that was fun. I know they took a lot out, like the cars don't talk, obviously.
Ving anime googly eyes.
And I bet they took out a lot of like the sillier finishers, because there were quite a few silly finishers in that episode.
That's very fun. I didn't know, because I never watched. I mean, I hadn't watched a ton of Power Rangers. I was familiar with RPM, and I maybe watched like an episode or two, maybe with you,
maybe,
or maybe with my kids at my house.
RPM is so good. It really is worth a watch sometime. It's an easy watch. It falls, like I said, in the last third, the guy who really wanted to do stuff different, left the show. I think because they were so over budget because they didn't use much of the Sentai footage. Because of that, they brought in a guy named Judd Lynn, who is like, he is the Power Rangers writer. So like they kind of kicked out a visionary newbie for a, like the guy who wrote the book on how to do a Power Ranger season. So suddenly like things get a lot more formulaic for the last like 12-ish episodes. And like, there's literally a plot line that is directly just ripped, copied, and pasted from Power Rangers in Space.
Bummer.
It's kind of a bummer. I don't know if some wacky, out there, bittersweet ending would have been satisfying. I don't know. I think what we got is good, because it's a pretty good ending, even if it is a little derivative. Instead of like what could have been, I don't know if he would have delivered a kind of a bittersweet takedown kind of ending or anything, but I don't know. What we got is pretty good.
Yeah. But we see
Red
Ranger show up in these episodes. Yeah, in a way that does feel like filler. It's sort of introducing, I mean, it's setting up, I've already forgotten his name.
Sosuke.
No, the bad guy.
Sosuke?
The bad guy's name.
Oh,
Cannonborg. I don't know how I can forget that name. It's a good name.
Cannonborg.
But like, we see kind of the introduction of him and how he sort of is somewhat changing the game.
Yeah.
He's like powering these guys up, but not really. I mean, the Rangers would have been toast in episode 12 if other Red Ranger wasn't there.
Yes, because of sandals.
Yeah, the big 100 ton sandals.
Yeah, I don't know that I have ever seen a more like nationally contextual bad guy in a tokusatsu. Like, I am sure to a Japanese audience, this was hilarious. Like, because you know the bad guys, they always like extract your gasps. Somehow this guy did it by making everyone wear wooden sandals.
It was so funny. It's like, I loved those shoes.
Yeah.
These don't go with my outfit at all.
I thought he was a refrigerator. I'm still not sure what he was.
Yeah, I don't know what he was. I guess he was a shoe rack.
But yeah, so something about those like wood sandals with the two pieces coming down that you see like monks wear.
Yeah. It distresses people. I also thought, I mean, we're just sort of bouncing back and forth. But in episode 11, when they're fighting, it's blue and pink and black, and they're fighting against orange and red because they're all like taken control of. And like pink is fighting with the main sword, but is holding it like the axe, and red is fighting her and stops her. And he's like, "You're holding that wrong."
Yes.
She's like, "Really? I am?" In a way that's just like very funny. But then in the next episode, she's using it the same way.
Yeah, and that's her way of using it. She uses it more like a club or something.
An axe almost. But then you have an axe from the other guys.
Yeah.
But I just really thought that was funny. Like, you're using this wrong.
Yeah, I really did like episode 11. 12, it was fine. It was fun to see. But I thought episode 11 was pretty good. Cannonborg, I'm not really interested in him. I don't really have anything to say.
Yeah, he hasn't proven to be much yet. He wasn't like Mad Wheel. Was cool.
Yeah. Well, because he almost instantly developed a relationship to one of the Rangers.
But Cannonborg hasn't even, they haven't even met him.
No. Yeah. Like, I'm not really all that interested in like another person who's just going to hang out with Team Rocket.
Because Team Rocket's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy their hijinks.
Tail to nose.
And he hasn't yet, even in episode 13, he hasn't like, what raises the stakes is not Cannonborg's doing. Like, the stakes are definitely raised in episode 3, but not because of Cannon.
Which we will get to another time.
Yeah. So, three episodes in, I don't really have an opinion on him. I mean, okay, cool, there's a new mastermind.
These Team Rockets they're messing it up, and they need another guy.
Yeah, I guess. It's so funny, he's like, I'm customizing them. The first one, he gives like an extra weapon. And the second one, he gives him a 150 ton sandal attack. It's not like,
yeah, he's really super custom here.
Yeah. He's not like really like raising the threat level.
Yeah. I guess we'll just have to see. But I thought 11 was very fun. 12, I just was missing a lot of the context of who this guy was, but also it was just a good time.
Yeah, I don't know that there was much context. I mean, even what I know about Goanger, I think the context is like they're also a vehicle themed Sentai.
What else do you need to know?
With tires on their suits. I do love how the Goangers use their tires. Like when they're fighting, a lot of times the tires spin and they can like if they're blocking attack, they can also like put it up to the monster and like kind of grind on him.
Get those bonus points.
Yeah. They do have kind of a weird amount of similarities because the core team of Goanger is it's yellow this time, but it's red, yellow, and blue. And then black and green have a slightly different suit design. And they're kind of their own thing. So it is kind of like they do have things in common for sure because it's the same except orange and black. On Boobunger. So I think they were just doing that, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll be a bigger crossover later.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see also, I mean, this is just more Boobunger in general, because I don't know if you've like seen around online, but like Boon Violet has been revealed.
I've been trying to avoid it, but I've seen the poster.
Yeah, so I don't know when that will be. It doesn't seem like it'll be in episode 14.
Almost always comes between episode 16 and 18.
So yeah, I guess we'll see soon with old Boon Violet.
That's also when your classic secondary rider kind of shows up between 16 and
18. Yeah, that's, I mean, one like traditional, I feel like, episode or season that I've watched enough, which was Wizard, and that's about when Beast shows up. Because Kuga didn't have one. I was like waiting, and I'm like, is it going to be Ichigo? Who's like the cop friend? It never is.
No. I did recently find a Kamen Rider Kuga reference in Digimon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's very funny.
At the end of Digimon season 2, they like flash forward to the future, and Ken, the former Digimon Emperor, becomes a detective fighting crime with his Stingmon. Very much Kuga and his detective buddy referenced.
That is very funny. Like, just the way that was set up.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly, his suit is supposed to be a Rider-esque suit, so it's fun that they do that. They kind of make the reference deeper.
Yes, the karate bug man and police officer friend.
Yeah. So, I just thought that was fun. I've been playing a lot of the Digimon card game lately, for those who don't know.
As you should. I was thinking about picking up Digimon Cyber Sleuth, because I think it was on very cheap sale.
It's great.
I know I played a little bit of yours. That you let me borrow it. But I never got too far into it. But I was thinking about trying it out. But, well, that's it for another time to talk about. The storm is, I feel like the wall of wind just hit.
Oh, we're getting flash flood warnings here, so.
Okay, well, you know how my internet is. So we can just move right along.
We'll move right along.
The legend before the thunderstorm.
Yeah, and this is going to be kind of the complainy part of this episode, I feel like. Especially because the next two episodes are so good.
Yes. It brings the question even more, like, what is this doing here?
Well, exactly. What is this doing here, and why is it three episodes? This whole arc, everything in this episode was finished last episode. Like, we did nothing new here. I guess the Abyssal King got a little bit more into it. Like,
big-assed.
But, like, I wasn't like, oh, he can transmute four chemis?
Even when that happened, I didn't really care. And then Spanner was like, quadruple transmutation. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess we haven't seen that. We've just seen so much. Like,
when he, in the very next episode, when he's fighting Spanner, then I'm like, oh, this dude rules.
Yeah, he owns. Like, it gets really good. But again, we're not getting into all of that.
No. But in this episode, like, we had the conflict. We had the conflict of Hotaro and Legend, like, trying to work together, even though, like, Legend is a lone wolf kind of guy. We had that last episode. Like, he even changes and finishes the fight in 0-2 again. And the other guy is in Arc 1 again. What are we doing? Why?
Yeah, just they did it again. I just felt like from a story standpoint where Legend is just like, I'm going to attack Hotaro now because I need to drive tank so I can take care of this myself. And it's like, that didn't need to happen. Like, no, literally none of it needed.
He just got done getting his feelings hurt by Hotaro for
pushing him away.
For pushing him away.
And so he's like, now I'm going to show you how it feels and push you away.
It's kind of a bummer because Legend is one of my favorite parts of this season. I just love him as a character.
It doesn't make sense, I guess.
No. This episode, like the last two, I was like, why are we doing this when we're introducing the big bad? But I still really enjoyed it and had fun with it and loved it. This entire episode, I was just like, why are we doing it? What is the purpose?
Now I know that this is nothing because I'm not in charge. I can't do anything with it. But what I would have loved is you have the moment where Garion is, you know, he's pulled up by the hand. It seems like everything's defeated. The door to darkness is sealed back up. Everything seems fine. And then you have the really wonderful episodes of like the drama club and like the school stuff. Just continue that a little bit more of like, hey, everything seems normal, but then you can like maybe we, the audience, can see behind the scenes how things are kind of coming together. And then here we are into episode 36 of like Gigast is like ready and coming, like his plans are ready to go. But instead we have like this crossover, quote unquote, with Legend that doesn't fit.
No.
Like it's not a part, and it's not like, and here's like he combines different writer forms or whatever. But at the same time, they just made that up. So it's not even like it's from another show that just fits for this.
Yeah. You are starting to cut out, by the way, but we'll keep going until we can't anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, I could forgive it. I really could for the last two episodes, for 34 and 35, because I really liked. I think they're good episodes if they are a little perplexing.
You mean 33 and 34?
Yes.
The
yes.
two before?
Yeah, the two like, legend kind of focused episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But this third episode, I kind of feel like is unforgivable. Like, it's just bad. We didn't do anything new. And like I said, like, we didn't even, like, transform into new people. We ended the fight with 0-2 and Arc 1 again, which I loved last week because I'm like, oh, the fight we never got to see. Woo!
Uh-huh. It's like, just we missed it so much, we did it twice.
Yeah, but I didn't care at all this time.
Just so, yeah, pleasing some people.
If Legend would have, like, if, like, closing the door to darkness somehow, like, time displaced Legend, and he had been in the Going to the Shrine episode, he had been in the Drama Club episode.
I forgot about the Shrine episode.
Yeah.
No, maybe, thank you.
Maybe that would have been better, like, kind of like, oh, he's a fish out of water. How is he going to react to these parts of our heroes' lives?
Uh-huh.
But as it stands, I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been cool if, like you kind of said, because we had the Kamen Rider Legend mini series, mm-hmm. but it was like Door to Darkness is sealed. Maybe there's an explosion, and then Legend wakes up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're even just like, who are you? Because they don't remember who Hotaro is. And he's like getting back his memories and realizing who he is.
Yeah.
And he's this other great hero.
Yeah, and we could have done the climax with him, like, remembering who he is and awakening his final form thingy.
Yeah, something like that. But again, we don't make it. So
yeah, we don't make it, unfortunately, and it was bad.
Yeah, just sort of at this point in the show, it's kind of a flub.
Yeah,
because I'm trying to think, like, with let me see. I'm just curious with Kamen Rider Geats. Like, this point in the show, where we were.
Oh, yeah. I think we had to have been in Opera Bushido.
Huh?
I think we would have had to have been in Opera Bushido, right?
Opera Bushido's from Gotchard.
Oh, you're right.
You mean Bujin Sword. Yeah, Bujin Sword. I was like, Chance? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. My internet's being very slow. There is a thunderstorm happening behind me. Here. Maybe it's soothing to you. TV show, allies, villains, episodes. Here we go. Head on down there. I mean, we're in the Yearning arc, episodes 33 through 38, which is like, I mean, that's, I mean, it starts.
Okay. Oh, you're back.
35, that's like, I mean, there is a little bit of a weirdness where the game starts and Tycoon's sister's involved.
Right.
Weird. Or, you know, it ends with Geats losing, and Buffa's like on top, and kind of his like killing of everyone arc, but it's still like really,
yeah,
like the drama is really high and it's like completely in line with everything else that's going on. I think it was the one before that when they did the Yamato games. Like, I just remember when that episode started and I'm like, this is such a status quo shift in the show that's still playing within the language of what the show is doing with like the mm-hmm. different arcs in the TV show, but it like, it feels substantial.
Yeah.
Like it's doing something important. And then again, when Buffa's in like on top and the Desire Grand Prix, where he's just going and killing everyone. And it's just like, this is so good. And here mm-hmm. we are with like the Legend stuff, which again, it can be good. Like there's parts of it that can be good. It could have been a whole lot better, but it just feels like like, why are we doing this right now?
Yeah. No, and I agree. And I think, like, if the point of the thing had been, like, Hotaro befriending the unfriendable, if that,
uh-huh.
which I think kind of was the, like, the character arc point of the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, Legend can't have friends. He has to stand alone.
Yeah, it's like the Kimmies are unfriendable because they're, like, these forces. They can easily be forces of destruction. And then now he's friends with Legend, who pushes everyone away because he's the shy one who distracts all the enemies. So he doesn't have anyone. And he's like, mm-hmm. no, he's going to be my friend. Dang it.
Yeah, yeah. And I can see that being like the arc. But again, I feel like this third episode totally ruined it. if you are curious, now this is, I'm going to tell you the whole plot of this third episode. Legend realizes the Hundred is still out there, I guess. I'm not sure why he does this. So he attacks Hotaru so he won't be his friend anymore. But Hotaru refuses not to be his friend.
So and, have you met him?
Yeah, and that's basically what Spanner says to Legend. He's like, have you met Hotaru? He's not going to give up. Like, even I'm kind of his friend now. And
me of all people.
Yes, him of all people. And then turns out that Gigask brought back the Arc 1 guy. And this time he fused four Kemi. Oh, excuse me. He fused four Kemis to him. How crazy. And now he's super powerful, and Legend can't do it alone. So Hotaru and Legend team up to finish him off. The end.
Woohoo! The
end. Oh, and the arc that showed up at the end of the last episode that I was really excited for turned out to just be an arc-shaped bomb.
Yeah, it was just a bomb. I guess it would shoot lasers.
Yeah.
It wasn't a normal bomb. It was a laser bomb.
It was a laser bomb.
I'm like, why put a timer? Why not just set it off immediately?
Yeah, I don't. It was a really long timer too, and they wasted like 9 hours.
Like, there was like a 24-hour timer, and they didn't do anything till the last like 45 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the whole point of this episode was like, well, we didn't have them in the gem bath yet. Which I know how you get the gem bath in your world because you're super rich and whatever. How do you
get? Where did that come from? How do you just get a bathtub in the middle of nowhere?
With gems in it.
With, yeah, in a gym, I think. It was a gym bath.
It was a gym bath. Yeah, I have no idea. But that's episode 35. We'll cover 6, 7, and 8 tomorrow.
We'll record tomorrow. I don't think it'll come out tomorrow, whenever you hear this.
Because, like, the minute I watched episode 36, I was like, I have to watch all of these now. It gets much better.
It does get a lot better and very heavy.
Yeah, very heavy. Yeah, and so, I mean, my feelings on Gotchard at this point, all right, I like it. I think it's got a lot of wasted potential. And it's weird that, like, it's bad in chunks. Like, if I was going to say, like, the first 10 episodes are bad, the shrine stuff is bad, and this episode is bad. Other than that, I like it all.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
And some of it I think is great.
Yeah, I guess we'll see how this little bit plays out after this.
Yes.
But up to this point, the stakes are really high.
Yeah, yeah. So come back on our next full episode to talk about the stakes being really high in both shows.
Yeah, because they're getting higher, and I like it. Yeah, but I think that's all for our coverage right now. Like we said, it was going to be a little bit shorter of an episode, and there's a thunderstorm raging outside my window right now. And my internet is spotty at best. So,
and his whole city refuses to invest in drainage, so it floods.
It floods. We flood. What are you going to do?
They vote on drainage every like 6 months. Never passes.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. There's just, they just can't.
Oh, are you talking?
Much. Yes.
Oh, I was like, you look like you're about to say something.
As I was maybe saying something. We'll see if that made it. We'd love for you to rate and review us over on podcast app of your choice that you use, as long as it has ability. Just leave us a review. Tell a friend if you have another friend who likes Sentai and Toku, Kamen Rider. Or they don't. They say, hey, these people just learned about this and they're trying it out and enjoying it. To them and find out too. That's a new angle. I just thought of it. But we would definitely appreciate your review and just some of the visibility that that provides. You can also follow us over on Instagram. I'm not over there a lot, but I've posted a couple things the last couple of days.
So. I know. I liked them.
Did you understand my Always Sunny reference now?
Not off the top of my head.
It was just Danny DeVito when he says, can I offer you a nice egg in this trying time? But he's holding the little blue and orange egg.
Yes.
Which was in the next episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're hearing a word I'm saying.
It's a little spotty.
Okay. Well, I apologize for the quality.
to kind of piggyback off of Cameron, I think like being a fan of Toku can be like a very isolated thing, like I was for a very long time, just kind of like my own fan of it. And we want to be your Toku friends. So we really do. Like we don't have anyone but each other to really talk about this stuff with. So yeah, we want to be your Toku friends. We want to hear your takes. I am halfway now through Forze. I've been going back and watching like an episode a day-ish, because that's what I have time for. And I'd love to talk to you about that. The secondary writer in it is like one of my new favorite writers, maybe.
Cool.
Well, his fighting style and everything, because he's like a Bruce Lee fighting guy. He uses the same, like, what's it called? Jeet Kune Do or something. He uses it, and he does all the, like, during his...
As he should.
During his fights, and his weapon is, like, a thing that, like, puts planets around his hand when he punches.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. Old planet puncher.
So I'm really... His Kamen Rider Meteor, I'm really enjoying him.
Could he be putting meteors around his hand, Chance?
He's not. No. He's got a Jupiter switch, which is a big punch. He's got a Saturn switch, which like he punches and it sends out like buzzsaw ring attack.
Just like Saturn.
Yeah. And he has a Mars switch, which is like a big fireball, which Mars is really cool, but that's besides the point. It's red, so.
Love that. But yes, so we want to be that for you.
Yeah. Come think Kamen Rider Meteor is cool with me.
Just hang out with us. This moment, I think that's all that I have. So I just want to remind you from all of us here, don't change for anyone. Change for yourself. Boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, change.